Let me sound off in the beginning. We ain't losing, we back to winning. Hometown love, been repping from the start. Nothing but niners, red and gold in my heart. And we go hard when it's time to play. May have left Frisco, but ain't left the Bay. Kyle Shanahan time, can he bring us back to get our sixth ring? Imagine that. Light shine bright at Levi whenever it's game day. Take a hit from Bowman, calling it Mayday. Eric Reed ball out, getting the picks. New year, Garcon going deep for six. Can't forget about Hyde when he toting the rock. While Robinson outside, keeping it locked. Had a lot of legends, time to make some new ones. Nothing but niners, haters come and get some. Yeah.
Yeah, what is going on, faithful? This is your boy Mike. I am joined by Nick and Tony. The Nothing But Niners crew is here, and you are listening to the Nothing But Niners podcast. Nick, Tony, guys, what's going on? How you doing, Nick? What's going on, baby?
What's going on, Mike? What's going on, faithfuls? What's going on, Tony?
Mike, Nick, what's going on, faithfuls? What's going on?
Guys, I'm ready to talk some football, man. We just saw an amazing Vikings game against the 49ers. At least for the starters, it was amazing. But before we get into that, that's what we're here for. We're going to react to this game. We're going to talk about, you know, what we think happened, if anyone cemented themselves into the roster and all that. But before we get to that, I want to let you guys know where to find us. Make sure you guys check out the website first and foremost, www.nothingbutniners.com. There you will find our Facebook. You will find the Twitter. You will find the Snapchat. You will find each individual contributor's page information right there, their Twitter handles if they have one, all that good stuff. Make sure you check that out. Again, we are on Snapchat. If you listen to this podcast, you're probably subscribed on iTunes. We are on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. We are on all the good websites. So you guys, make sure you check that out. All right. Another thing you guys can do is find us everywhere. Guys, the Twitter handle is life. Nothing but 9ERS. That is where you want to find us. Okay. So make sure you do yourself the favor. Jump on over there. Give us a follow. Talk to us. We love to interact with everybody. And another thing I want to do before we get into this, we always talk about stuff at the end of shows and at the end of episodes. I want to talk about some of our writers and what the work they've been putting into it. We do an NB Niners deep dive. And what we do there is the writers actually watch film, they study advanced metrics, they go through PFF, they get all these information, and they write articles on what they think is going to happen in the upcoming matchups. And last week, Nick, you can attest to this. Tony, if you did, you can too, if you read the articles. The writers were spot on, man. I mean, the information that was in them were really good. What do you think about that?
Yeah, they definitely hit it on the nail on the head, to say. Definitely got a lot of good writers, definitely putting out a lot of great content. And, yeah, you guys are missing out if you're not checking that out, man. Like Mike said, visit nothingbutniners.com, and visit the blog section and check those writers out, man.
I mean, a part of the deep dives is also about where, you know, they look at the offense, the 49ers offense versus the opponent's defense. And they talk about not just, oh, what we can do, but they say this is the strength of the Vikings, because that was the last one that happened. And this is the strength of this team, and this is what they do well. And so in order for the 49ers to move the ball well and effectively against this team, they have to do X, Y, and Z. And, I mean, they were spot on with their assessments. And so this week, starting Sunday, after roster cuts and everything, we're going to be pushing a lot of good deep dives to give you guys a heads up of what to expect and what's coming against the Carolina Panthers. So make sure you guys go and take a look at that. You will get detailed previews against the Carolina Panthers and what to expect week one, position by position. I mean, I don't have anything else to say about that. I want to make sure you guys check that out. All right. And the last thing on my agenda before we get into the topic at hand is the people of Houston. Guys, make sure you donate if it's nothing but $5. All right. I like the text idea where you can send the text message. It bills you $10 on your cell phone bill. You're not coming out of pocket right away. And it's $10, guys. You're probably barely even going to notice it. Send the text message to, I believe it's 90999. You text the word Harvey for Hurricane Harvey, and they just bill you $10 on your cell phone bill. Guys, help out. A lot of money is being raised. It has to be put to good use. And if you don't trust, I know a lot of people have some apprehension about Red Cross. because they say that they never help the people in Haiti and all that. Find another good one. J.J. Watt has a good one. I can't remember what exactly the handle is, but it's a really good one. J.J. Watt, just look him up on Twitter. You'll see it. He's got it pinned to his profile. Help out the people of Houston if you can. Every little bit helps people. All right? Anything else you guys want to add before we jump into this? Tony?
Nah, I'm good. You pretty much hit it, Mike.
All right, man. Guys, I'm ready to rock, man. I've been doing a lot of talking. So, Tony, we're going to kick this off with you, brother. You are our resident GM. The Niners-Vikings game happened. I want to start with a breakdown. Tell me what you saw from the starters. I mean, let's talk about the starters. Let's start up front. Tell me what you saw.
The first string offense looked phenomenal that whole first quarter going into the second quarter. Hoyer was you saw Kyle's system in full effect. Play after play after play. One play sets up the other. The other one sets up the next play. I think he ran the ball on first down. Then he hit a slant to Garcon, came back and ran the ball again, and then they took the shot down the field. It was there. It looks organized. The penalties was not there. The illegal shifts weren't there. The illegal formations weren't there. Everybody cleaned up their act. I think the penalties were like 8 penalties for the game rather than like 17. But overall, it looked good. The defense was flying to the ball, playing aggressive, like Salah said. It's just, I'm very happy. Very happy with the way things look. Listen, I understand, you know, he still could be holding things tight to the vest because it is still preseason, but if there was one out of the 4 games of the preseason games, the third one is the most important one. The first one, the second one, the fourth one is garbage.
Absolutely. I mean, the fourth one, you probably won't even see any starters in there. So I completely agree with you. Nick, man, your turn, brother. Give us an assessment. Break us down, man. What'd you see from the team? Give us a recap for us.
I just want to say that I told you so.
Oh, here he goes.
I'm just being in general, though. You know, like Tony said, the first, second preseason game, you know, you really don't see much of the starters. You really don't have that time to get that chemistry down at that NFL game speed, because there's a difference between preseason and regular games. We all know that, as well as practice. But, yeah, Tony hit it on the head, man. And the thing that I enjoyed the most about the first-string offense is they weren't gaining a lot of yards on the run game, but Kyle Shanahan still stuck with it. I think it was like 25 for 32 with a run compared to the pass. So, you know, we were almost 50% run game to pass game. But even though they weren't, you know, getting a ton of yards running the ball, it still opened the play action. And I'm happy that Kyle Shanahan stuck with it. And I still think that we've seen a little taste of what Kyle Shanahan is all about. I don't think we've seen the full arsenal of what he can do. But, man, Brian Hoyer looks sharp, man. He was... After the first quarter, he was 9 for 9 for 152 yards with 2 touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, you can't get much better than that. As Tony was saying, the defense is flying to the ball. Like Salah says, all gas, no brakes. I also am super excited to see, you know, Eric Reed in this position that he's playing. We've talked about this numerous times about him being a fit to the system and being able to execute and, you know, excel in this position. But, man, Reuben Foster looks good. You know, it was kind of weird seeing Bowman come out on some of those dime packages, which I thought was really cool, though. But the best thing that I love about it all is aggressive pocket collapsing. When they didn't get the sack or get to the quarterback, the pocket definitely has crashed. Which is helping out our secondary, which we know we need a little bit of help there. But the best thing of all of it is 11 men to the ball. And absolutely, you can see that everywhere, every play.
Yeah, and you nailed it, man. And, you know, that's where I want to start.
Hey, Mike, can I just throw something in real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Unlike previous seasons, you know, under previous regimes, this team looks like it has a plan in place. They look organized. Everyone is on the same page. Everyone is doing their jobs. And you saw it in that first half versus Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it finally, it's good. It's a great feeling. It's a great time to be a Niners fan right now. it was phenomenal.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you know, and then what I like to see, I was looking for improvements, man. Those were the things that I was really, really looking for. Everyone's going to talk about the offense, you know, but I want to talk about overall penalties. On August 11th, when we played Kansas City, 17 penalties for 131 yards. August 19th, a week later, we played against Denver, 11 penalties for 86 yards. This week, the penalties came down. There were 9 penalties for 75 yards. Still high, still a lot of yards. However, they weren't really caused by the starters. The starters, if I'm not mistaken, were only responsible for 2 penalties. Now, I know all the other penalties weren't caused by the starters because they were only in there for a series or two, but the starters had penalties in all these games, and it just wasn't as many. So this felt a lot better. The good of the offense is going to shine through. That's going to be the story. But I want to talk about this defense, man. This defense came to play. Eric Reed looks like a man reborn with a new purpose. I mean, he can sincerely lead this team in tackles this season. You know what I mean? I mean, he's going to be a monster out there. He just seems unstoppable. And the thing is, with all of this, is that even Kyle Shanahan had to give props to the defense early on. I mean, check this out. Listen to what Kyle Shanahan had to say about his defense, okay? Check this out.
Give us a chance to hit a big play there on that first drive. And defense got that 3-and-out quick to start, which changed the momentum early, and I was happy with their guys in the first half.
Defense got that 3-and-out quick to start. Let's talk about that first opening drive for the defense. I'm going to ask you guys before I start blabbing here. Do either of you remember the opening drive for the Vikings and what the first play was?
Yes.
Come on, man. Let's talk about it, man. We should be excited right now, man. This was something that got me fired up. There's no way I'm the only one with energy right now. Come on, guys.
Mike, listen, do you remember when we did the show with the draft and we talked about, like, what Reuben Foster is going to bring to this defense?
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Yes.
You saw it. You saw it in that first series. Everybody was flying all over the place. They were playing with emotion. They're feeding off each other. They did an interview. Reed is feeding off of him. He's feeding off of Reed. It's back and forth. I mean,
absolutely.
When I saw him break on that ball, when they threw that little, I don't know if it was a screen or if it was just a dump off to the flat, I was like, holy shit. This guy,
destroyed Dalvin Cook.
Oh my God. He saw that play before. He had that play diagnosed before he.
Yep.
It was crazy. And to get over there that fast.
Talk your shit, Nick.
And that's the one thing that I loved about his tenacity out there is, obviously he's a linebacker. He should recognize those type of plays. But the way that he did it, I mean, you look at him, he takes a step forward and a step back like he's supposed to, recognizes the play call, and takes off like a rocket coming out, and just lays this smack down on Dalvin Cook and says, exactly. I'm setting Tom the tone now. And that's exactly what you got from him. And what like Kyle Shanahan said in one of his pressers was, you set that tone early, or Salah said, you set that tone early, and I don't care what those other receivers, when they dropped those balls, mm-hmm. we were in their heads. They had their necks on a swivel and didn't want to get smashed. And that's what I want from this defense. You know, violence, 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 violence.
Make
and
them
I'm
pay for coming into
it,
what they call the kill zone. They said that's why they think Laquon Treadwell was dropping those passes, because Bradford delivered some dimes to him. He dropped two of them just right there, wide open. Said his head was already turning before the ball was there because he was worried about contact and he dropped those passes. And that's what we want to see, man. He came out and laid the wood early. I mean, right out the gate, 5-yard loss. And then the defensive line was so relentless the very next play. Yeah, they didn't cause that fumble, but damn if they weren't right there in his face. Even if they didn't cause the fumble, it was going to be a sack. They were right there. They went to go do the handoff and Cook elbowed the ball out of Bradford's hands. I mean, the defensive line was right there, man. This team looks brand new. They look fearless against the run. They seem like they're giving up, the defense in particular. They're giving up passes short. They're keeping plays in front of them, and they're pouncing on the ball as soon as the ball is in the air.
And that's what I was going to say about this defense, Mike, is this defense is designed to keep the ball in front of you, right? So, but not only is it new, but they're hungry. Whether you're a vet or whether you're a first-year rookie starting, this defense is hungry. They're out to prove something this year.
Guys, can I just ask you a question real quick? Do you guys think this defense looks exactly like Seattle's? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I see a big a difference schematically compared to Seattle's. I don't know if you noticed, but they went to a three-man front, and they had Doomerville line up as a middle linebacker next to Foster. I don't recall what time it was. I got to go back and look at it. I mean, I just barely watched the first half between work and stuff.
No, that's all right.
But he was lined up as a middle linebacker. I think Bowman was on the sideline. I think they were in a dime package. And, well, he was all over the place. He started off in the middle. He went to the end. He blitzed from the middle. Like, oh my God! Like it's crazy.
I've got the play. I've got the game on right now, and I just saw Doomerville get a sack. I mean, he pretty much pushed his right tackle into the lap of the quarterback.
It's crazy.
He didn't do anything. Like he was one of the guys. Here I am, gonna eat a little bit of crow here. Here
you
we go.
Were surprised by say it. Say it. Bring
I
that
told
shit,
you
Mike,
guys that
it.
He was one of the guys I thought was old and was going to get cut. I thought that everyone was all hyped about him just because of his name and all that. But damn, as a rotational player, the guy's got some juice left in the engine, man. He's got some juice left in the he's got something in there, man. And I'm excited for him. I'm damn excited for him. And I can't wait to see this thing play out over the course of an entire game. This defense was relentless, man. The pressure on the quarterback was just stupid. I can't believe what I was seeing, man. I can't believe it, man.
But you see the difference in the schemes, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Compared to last year where you had a, like the two gapping to a one gap. That's huge, bro.
Yeah.
That, you don't understand. For like I played, I coached. It's huge. You are responsible. You want to fly through that gap and pin your ears back, that you could do it.
Yeah. Yeah,
you could do it.
And that's,
there's no, you're responsible for that gap.
And you know something? That kind of system favors young guys. We have a very, very young team. You don't want these guys out there. They're not veterans. You don't want these guys out there trying to read and overdiagnose a play pre-snap. You know what I mean? You want them to do that, but what's going to favor the young guys? Let these guys go out there and do what they do best, and then they can work on everything else over time. This is what you want.
Exactly.
This is what you want, man. Tank Carradine,
Mike,
looks good. Go ahead, Nick.
I'm excited to see Doomerville and Buckner out there together.
Yeah, we still haven't.
You want to talk about pick your poison?
It's going to be something else, man. I can't. The combinations of what they can do with these guys. I know people are beating up on Eric Armstead because he doesn't look great at a Leo position or whatever. Eric Armstead is pushing people around out there when he's going. I'm going to tell you guys, God's honest truth. That Kansas City game, I was worried about that guy. I was really, really worried about that kid. I think I said something to you, Nick. I was like, what is he doing? He's not using his arms right. He's not using leverage right. He's too upright. I was worried about him. But damn, man. Like, oh, my God.
Mike, he's only the Leo in the base. Remember that.
I know. That's what it is. Like,
okay.
He was pushing people around on that defensive line, man. It was crazy.
Once it's second and long, once it's third and long, you're going to see a whole different look.
Yep. It looked good. All right, so that's enough about the defense, man. I think we praised the defense a lot. Let's talk about the offense, man. Let me ask you guys this question. All right, I'm going to throw this to Nick first. I want to know what you guys think was the biggest surprise of the starting offense, okay? So, Nick, you answer this question, and then Tony, after Nick is done, you go ahead and answer the question. Biggest surprise from the starting offense.
My biggest surprise from the offense, starting offense, I would say Brian Hoyer, but that's not a surprise to me because I have 100% faith in what he can do with the system and play. But I want to say when Joe Staley went down, John Thea stepping in. And the offensive line with the protection, even run blocking, they looked a little bit better. We didn't get many yards, but in this type of offense, I mean, you're running through traffic on this zone blocking scheme. I mean, guys are just running down diagonal to the line of scrimmage. But Carlos Hyde surprised me. He got through a little bit of holds there. But, man, the biggest surprise is Carlos Hyde coming out of the backfield and looking like a wide receiver to me.
On the wheel route where he scored the touchdown, right?
Yeah. He came out. He made a move. Brian Hoyer looked off the linebacker, gave him just enough time to get open an open lane, and Carlos Hyde looked magnificent. Magnificent. If we can get him doing that type of thing, it is going to have people on their toes, standing on their heels, wondering what the hell's coming at them next.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. And listen, man, Carlos Hyde was one of my biggest surprises. He wasn't my biggest surprise, but he was one of them. I'm going to let Tony answer, but I don't know if you guys remember the play. It was a play up to the right side of the offensive line, and I just knew for sure it was going to be a 0 yards, 0 net yard play, and out of nowhere, he just pops out from behind, and it's a 7 yard gain. Like, he found the smallest of holes. That's
the one play I was talking about, where the whole line is shifting to the right, and he just found that one little bit of a hole, and you thought he wasn't coming out, and next thing you know, he pops out and gets a 7 yard gain.
7 yards later, bro. Like, that's, like, that was a play that I just didn't see. I couldn't see the hole. Like, people are going to kill me for saying this. It was Frank Gore-esque. That's what Frank Gore does. He would get low, get behind his lineman, find the hole, and just pop out. You know what I mean? That's what I wanted to see from him, man. All right, so Tony, your biggest surprise on offense following this game.
I got a little joke. How small Carlos Hyde looks. How much weight did this guy lose?
Yeah.
He looks like a different guy out there compared to last year. But beyond that, how many guys are open on every play? And we finally have a damn quarterback that hits the wide open receivers. Right? I mean, am I wrong?
No, because I'm watching them deal right now, bro. I'm watching them deal right now.
You're
to roll
the game,
out.
Mike, look at that film right now and tell me at least if you don't see two guys wide open right now, it's
exactly
his scheme. You know, Kyle's scheme is unreal. If you watch that first drive, right? I'm not going to get long into this, but I just want to be brief about it. Play after play after play. If you watch the first play, those safeties were deep. Okay, when they hit Goodwin down the middle, down the hash for the touchdown, those safeties were coming all the way up. Why? He ran the ball. He threw a 5 yard slant, like an 8 yard dig. They came up and he saw that. Good night, right over the top. You are not catching Goodwin from behind. I'm sorry.
Yep. Guys, I mean, there's so much brilliance in the design of the plays, and that's what my surprise is. I know that Kyle Shanahan was supposed to be this offensive guru, but damn it, so was Chip Kelly. But I actually see it happening. There was a play in the first quarter. It was a screen pass to Carlos Hyde, okay? I want to say it was around the 1 minute mark. Mm-hmm. It was around the 1 minute mark, okay? And if you go to the first quarter, there's about a minute left in the game. Maybe, all right, a minute eight, I believe, is when the snap is. It's a screen pass to Carlos Hyde, right? And you see the offensive lineman rolling down the field, all right? But Fusco falls on the play. He falls down, so he can't lay his second block like he was supposed to, all right? So one of the main blockers for this screen pass was down on the ground. He had to get up and try to keep running, right? Even with the failed guy, the play went for 6 yards. If Fusco was up and Hyde was able to get behind him to finish this, it would have been easily 11, 12 plus yards. Because then now Hyde is just beating a corner or a safety. You get what I'm saying? Like, the play design is my biggest win. Like, just seeing how it all worked and tied everything together. You can see it working from one play to the other. Not just good plays individually. These things were all related. Like Tony said, you had Goodwin beat those guys deep because they were playing down more. Kyle was luring these guys down into the box. And as soon as he did, boom, got him. Exploit the weakness in the defense.
That kind of goes back to what we were talking about on our pregame video, where we were talking with Croc was, the thing about it is these receivers have five or six different routes off of what they're supposed to do depending on what they see in a defense. And Brian Hoyer knows what they're supposed to do as well. And everybody's been pretty much on point and knowing what to do. And you could see that in the game where they were going deep, all cut back, cut across, do whatever it is, their dig routes, whatever. But, man, I'm just super excited, man. And I don't even think we've seen half or even a minute piece of this arsenal.
You've seen nothing yet.
Nothing. You know what I mean? And that's what's so exciting about the whole thing.
But, Nick, you mentioned in our chat, I don't mean to cut you off, when was the last time you seen this team successfully run a screen pass?
I couldn't tell you. Maybe.
Don't even
Jeff
try.
Garcia.
And maybe? I'm not talking like the bubble screen, like with Chip.
Right. A true screen pass. And yeah, legit screens. Probably, maybe Jeff Garcia. Maybe.
Oh my God.
Maybe Gerback.
Crazy, bro.
You know.
Crazy,
oh my God.
I mean, it's true. I mean, what we have on this team right now complement each other. Whether it's receiver, whether it's tight end, whether it's, Juszczyk coming out of the backfield. And, man, I'm loving the opposite side rollouts, man.
Yeah.
The misdirection rollouts.
That's a
rollouts.
Big staple in his offense.
I mean, that's a 12 to 13-yard gain every time for Juszczyk.
That's why his
– And if somebody's covering that play – You got over the top.
Yeah, it's a two-read play. You have the high-low read. But that's why the play, the run game is so important. Because if you can't run the ball, your play action's nothing.
Well, and that's why I was so surprised that, you know, we weren't getting many yards. I mean, we had a couple Carlos Hyde runs where they were 7, 6, 5. But other than that, you know, it was pretty much 1, 2 yards. Sometimes
nothing.
But
he stuck with it, though.
But he stuck with it, and that's the key. You don't just stick with it. I mean, if you're a type Andy Reid type coach, you're not sticking with the run. You're just opening up, and you're throwing the ball 50 times a game.
Bro, I loved it. I love the distribution of the run pass throughout the entire game. But, guys, all right, listen. We have gone 25 minutes talking nothing but positive about this team. Time to get to reality. Everything was not sunshine and rainbows. Everything was not good. We had to talk about some negative stuff, all right? So I'm going to bounce this one to, let me see. I started with Nick before with the best, his biggest surprise. So I'm going to throw this to Tony. Tony, man, I need you to tell me your biggest negative from this game. And any facet. Just give it to me, man. What was it that you watched and you were kind of disappointed with?
The corner play. Of the game? The corner play, man. I don't know. I'm confused because, like I mentioned to you previously, Mike, I always thought the Seattle system was press. You bump them off, you jam them off the line, and that's why the single high, they have a single high safety. These guys are running, they're playing man, they're playing off, they're playing zone, a fire three zone. I listened to Crox on, he was on with Brian Peacock today, he broke it down.
Good podcast, by the way, guys, check that out.
Great podcast, he does an excellent job. But I just don't understand the back end of that defense. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, there were plays that I was watching, and Johnson, who is, by the way, I think he's outplaying Rashard Robinson, but that's a different argument for a different time. Dante Johnson is 7 yards off the line of scrimmage on first and second down when it's passing downs, and he's backpedaling out of the break. There's no press, like you said. And so I was just a little confused. I thought press would favor the likes of Johnson and Robinson, but I mean, what are they? Is it something that they're keeping close to the vest? Like, what do you guys think?
Could be possible.
Nick, you
thought? It could be. They can come out week one and they start jamming the line and not let the receivers off. Then the offense has to adjust. But I don't know.
Yeah, I can agree with him on the corner play. The thing that I look forward to the most is I don't think that's my biggest negative that was on the field, on the first string, definitely the backups, and what's going to be coming in if we have an injury, definitely scares me.
The depth.
But Yeah, the depth of corner is definitely one of those ones that scare me. But we're talking about negatives here, though. So penalties as well would be another one of my negatives. Mm-hmm. I know we went down to nine, and we only
down
went
to nine. That's a bad sentence all by itself.
We went from 18 to 11 to 9. So we're getting there. We're getting better. And I know only two of them were from the first string offense. But the penalties are still killing us. You know, we did lose this game. I mean, nobody's talking really much about that. But we did lose the game, and I understand it's preseason and it doesn't really matter. It's not even really a big bother. But, yeah, definitely penalties and secondary play.
Okay. All right. And I can definitely agree with that. The penalties, you know, are they're going to be a problem. Like it or not, the youth is the future of this team right now. I don't see these guys keeping 53 players and then next year cutting another 40 again like they're going to do this year. I just don't see that happening. So they have to do something, and these guys have to. It's discipline. It's on the head coach. It's on the coordinators. They have to get these guys in the right position to make plays, and they have to be cognizant of what's going on. My biggest disappointment, though, is going to be C.J. Beathard. He had a chance to cement himself as the backup quarterback. And in my honest opinion, C.J. Beathard flat out played so poorly that all of a sudden we have to consider keeping Matt Barkley. Am I the only person that thought that?
He didn't have his greatest game, I'll say that. But I don't think he played – I mean, he didn't play good. He didn't play horrible. He played okay.
He was pretty close to horrible.
Nah, I don't know. I think he looked pretty horrible.
He was pretty close to horrible.
He was pretty close to horrible. I mean, he reminded me of Blaine Gabbert out there. High passes, trying to get my boy Trent Taylor killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple high passes. Just didn't look comfortable in the pocket. You know, he just looked completely different compared to what he was for the first 2 weeks of preseason. Mike, I got to agree with you on this. I think that, you know, he had a chance to lock down that second spot, and Barkley only got a few snaps. But I think we see a lot of C.J. Beathard this week, and I think we see a lot of Matt Barkley this week.
Absolutely.
Because that competition is wide open again.
Yeah.
And
who do you think starts?
Beathard.
I think Beathard probably starts. But, I mean, you got to also think. But, he was out there, and his numbers were so inflated where it's not even funny. Yeah. Like, if it wasn't for Mostert's check down pass that he took 87 yards, this guy barely even achieved anything that game.
He wouldn't have had 100 yards passing if it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. And, like, so you can say the same thing for Brian Hoyer, because their stats weren't that far off when you go back and look at it. But here's the difference. It was third and forever, okay? They were just giving the ball to Raheem Mostert. They weren't trying to get a first down. They were like, here, good luck. Okay, Mostert's speed just was unforgiving. And so he took off and took it to the house. Okay, that was a big play. Brian Hoyer also had a big play for, like, what was it, 60 yards, that touchdown pass to
46.
It was only 46? It seemed like 60. Yeah. That's how hype I was. It seemed like 60.
No, it was definitely 46, because Hoyer actually said that in his presser was, we don't usually call that with so little space. And the reporter's like, what do you mean with so little space? And he's like, because, man,
the end zone.
Goodwin gets there, you know, in less than 4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Gets that far. He's like, I could have thrown the ball deeper, and we don't usually call that tight.
Right.
When we're that close. And you know, he's like, maybe if we're on the negative 35, we call that type of play, stuff like that. He's like, but I was really surprised that it opened up like that and Goodwin just went under it. But 46 yards right there from one ball.
Yeah, so you take away that play, and that's one thing. But this is why you can't take that play away. He actually delivered that ball in the air to him. By the time Goodwin received that ball, he had, what, 5 yards to get to the end zone? So
not even. He was right in.
Yeah.
No, he caught it literally right on the goal line.
So, like, that's but that's my point. So one was a two-yard pass, and the other one, like, the ball actually traveled the distance, and it was beautiful. He didn't have to break stride. You know what I mean? But I'm sorry. I'm getting excited. But I'm supposed to be talking negative. And it's C.J. Beathard, man. He had an opportunity to run away with this quarterback competition. He didn't do so. He could have shut the door. He would have made everybody confident and open up another roster spot for someone else. Think C.J. Beathard cost someone else their job. We might have to keep 3 quarterbacks now. So, Tony, you're our resident GM, man. Tell me, based off of what you saw from him, are you going to keep 2 quarterbacks or 3 on your roster, man?
It all depends on how Barkley plays this week.
So Barkley's back in the discussion. Now if Beathard was out there and he looked good.
You have to, because if you think of Hoyer's injury history, he gets hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, listen, I like Beathard. I am impressed with Beathard. He did not have the greatest game this week, but there's just something about Beathard that I like. He's maybe not this game, but the game before, he looked like he belonged in the pocket.
Well, yeah. So he
you know what I'm saying?
He manipulates the pocket well. He stands tall and he will deliver. He's not one of those guys.
He stands there. He'll take the shot and throw that ball.
Right. But we've known that about him since college. We've known that about him, that he's not afraid to take the hit. We get that. We see that. But you still have to be able to deliver the ball accurately. Listen, there were so many high passes in this game that I couldn't figure it out. Like I went back and I watched this game again. I looked at the ball placements of Brian Hoyer, and then I went back and I watched the Kansas City game. When Brian Hoyer's throwing to a tall receiver who's got a mismatch against a shorter corner, he'll throw the ball high. When he's throwing the ball to a slot guy like a Taylor or a Curley, and they have a defender on them that's a little bit bigger than they are, he throws it a little bit lower. I've noticed those things. I had to go back and watch this game to see who the hell was Beathard throwing to. Like he almost, like Nick said, he almost got Trent Taylor killed. It's unacceptable. He threw the ball so high to such a little guy, man. And Trent Taylor, he's not going to just back down from it. He went up to go get that ball.
Who were the receivers when he was in the game? I didn't get to that point yet.
It was. He had a full gambit, man. He had
the starters.
He didn't have the starters in there. No. But he had Bolden. It was the backup line. It was the same line that he's been playing with all season.
No, I didn't get to that point because I thought he was supposed to play with the ones at one point.
No, he did. He did play with the ones at a point.
Oh, at the end of the second half. I'm sorry. Yeah. He did get one series with him. But Joe Staley wasn't in there either. That's probably another reason why that didn't stand out in my head. But yeah, you're right. But here's another thing that about C.J. Beathard, okay? His play against the Vikings made me realize that his play against the Chiefs wasn't that good, that his play against the Broncos wasn't that good. And I know that he's the only – up until this game, he was the only quarterback to pass for a touchdown, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone's like, oh, all hail C.J. Beathard. All hail K.C. Beathard. He was the next hero. But then you go back and look at it, all of his touchdowns were the hard work of his targets. He didn't deliver any strikes in red zone or to the end zone or anything like that. They were a lot of big – think about that Kendrick Bourne play, right? Yeah. It was a short play. He broke 2 tackles and he housed it. That's what C.J. Beathard has been doing, and everyone all of a sudden was like, oh, he's a guy. Not so fast. It caused me to even go back and look at his previous play and say, nah, bro, not buying it anymore. So I'm worried now, guys. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit worried about C.J. Beathard.
I've been saying this, that even if the play of C.J. Beathard has been really, really good, you still don't keep only 2 quarterbacks with an injury-prone quarterback, which is Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, you can't.
You know, just the cards haven't been drawn his way in the past, but like I always say, the past doesn't define us. The future does, and the time now. But I just don't see keeping C.J. Beathard and Brian Hoyer. I still think that you keep that third quarterback. The one that I think is the fourth running back, and I think the way onto this team as a fourth running back is special teams.
Yeah, so let's talk about it, man. What positions do you guys think are you know, going to be still up for grabs going forward. Nick, let's toss this one back to you. I know that we're going into the fourth game, but I don't think the 53-man roster is set. I think all three of us can agree on that. And so what positions do you think are still in play right now?
I still think the six wide receiver position is I think we're going to keep six. I think that's still up in the air. I also think that the running back position between Hightower, Bibbs, and Joe Williams is still up in the air. I think Breida makes this team. And I think, obviously, Carlos Hyde makes this team.
So you think there's only going to be three and there's one spot between those other guys?
I think there's going to be four running backs, but you have to also remember Juszczyk is listed as a running back.
So you're counting Juszczyk. Okay.
I'm counting Juszczyk. Yeah. So I think there's going to be three running backs and a fullback in that position thing. The one that has downed me so much is people are going to hate me for this, but Joe Williams. I mean, you're seeing more and more of Breida. I'm not sure if that's because the coaches want to see more and more of him. But when Joe Williams is out there, he's really not capitalizing on his opportunity. The first game that he played, zone outside read run. He was, you know, he's fast. He's getting to the outside. He's getting off the edge, and he's going. But I haven't seen that since. With his opportunities on running outside, he's been getting pretty much stuffed. I don't know if that's because of blocking or what have you. But the thing that myself and one of our writers, Ali, was talking about this last night, actually, was my feeling on this is Joe Williams doesn't play special teams at all. Not a bit. The only running backs that play special teams are Mostert, Bibbs, Hightower, and Breida. Joe Williams is the only running back that does not play special teams. When you're trying to make a 53, and if you're not making it as the top running back, because you're only going to dress, what, two running backs? Unless you play special teams. So if Joe Williams isn't playing running back or isn't starting the game as a running back or a rotational guy, and he's not playing special teams, is he going to make this team if they're not going to dress him? That's my only concern with Joe Williams and my questioning to what's going on here. Because I know Kyle Shanahan came out this week and said, look, I already know what I get from Tim Hightower. Tim Hightower will get some snaps in the fourth game, but I already know what I get from him. I need to see what I'm getting from Breida and Joe Williams. So I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on that, but that position is still definitely up in the air. Tony, what are your thoughts on that?
I honestly think that the reason why you're seeing Breida a lot is because I think the team is trying to figure out, because I think him and Mostert, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but I think him and Mostert are similar backs with similar styles. I think the reason why you're seeing Breida is they're trying to figure out who they're going to keep out of those two. I know Joe Williams had a good game versus Kansas City. We really haven't seen him, you know, in this game. We carried the ball a couple times, but late in the game, third or fourth quarter, I saw on Twitter. I really didn't see the production because I didn't get to watch the film yet. But if I had to say, I think Hyde makes it. I think Breida makes it. I honestly think Joe Williams will make it because what they invested in him and how Kyle pounded the table with Lynch to even put him back on the draft board.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that. But like I said, the only thing that worries me is he doesn't play special teams.
He might have to.
I mean, but he hasn't. He hasn't even stepped on the field at all for special teams. And
every game?
Every game. He has not played a single snap of special teams.
Yeah, we got to get somebody there that's going to play special teams, man. It's going to be interesting. I do think that it's going to be three running backs plus Juszczyk. So three running backs and a fullback. And it's going to be a tough call. I do think that's a position that's up for grabs. Tony, was there anything else before I keep going?
No, I'm good, Mike.
I also think that the backup quarterback position is up for grabs. I really, really do. I think that I don't know, man. I know I feel like my heart tells me it should absolutely be C.J. Beathard, but that his play just wasn't inspiring at all. I mean, I think for sure we're going to keep three quarterbacks now. Where before I was confident enough to say we don't need Barkley. Now, no, we got it. We absolutely have to. Nick, it's what we said before. Even if he's great, you don't want to keep a rookie and an injury-prone quarterback.
Right.
So, yeah.
I completely agree with that.
Another position that I think is going to be a lot of roster battles is corner. I know that no one really like saying much about it like that, but, you know, Will Redmond, Keith Reeser, like the depth behind Robinson, Kawan Williams, and Johnson. Like, who are going to be the guys? You know what I mean?
I don't know. Reeser's poop, though.
Yeah, no. Your word is dookie.
Yeah, he is definitely dookie. But
I think there's going to be a big turnover in the secondary.
I mean, I think that there could even be a chance of our backup corners right now not even being on this team yet. It could be
that's what I mean.
Before this 53. And I agree with Tony on that with a turnover.
Let me ask you guys a question.
I don't even recall Redmond out there last game.
Redmond was hurt.
Nope.
So
wasn't there.
And Redmond's been hurt his whole career, so that's gonna hurt him. I was super excited to see what he had to offer this year, if you guys remember.
Yeah.
But I could tell you that that toilet paper's flushed because.
Well, listen,
Reese,
man.
Him and Reese are dookie, man.
What about Akello Witherspoon? Let me get you guys' thoughts on
that. Oh,
my God.
Don't even get me started.
Let's be honest here. No, because this is something that 49er fans, that fans are starting to, oh, come on, he's a rookie. Give him more time. I get that. Damn it, I understand that. But I want to hear some honest opinion. Let's start with Tony. Tony, Akello Witherspoon, man. Our rookie corner drafted in the third round. God, tell me something about this guy. What were your thoughts?
I don't think he's comfortable playing in the scheme. I don't think he's... Not comfortable in the scheme, but I don't think he knows the scheme fully to be comfortable and play comfortable. I think he's thinking way too much because you could tell when he breaks, when he reacts. He has no reaction, really. I mean, again, this all goes back to I thought, like when do you see Richard Sherman playing 7 yards off the ball?
Only when he's covering Julio Jones.
Yeah, well. When they were in the Super Bowl, they had Maxwell and Sherman. Those guys were on the line of scrimmage, jamming every single play. Why is it different now?
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? They want big physical corners. Big physical corners don't play zone. Big physical corners jam at the line of scrimmage. This kid has long-ass arms. He's 6'3". He's fast. Why is he playing off the ball?
I don't know. Nick, man, your thoughts.
You really want to know my thoughts?
No, I do, man, because listen, I know you're hard on corners, man. I know it was the overreaction show, but I've heard you even say, oh, cut Robinson. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about Akello Witherspoon.
Akello Witherspoon is a complete bust in my eyes. The kid can't tackle. His coverage skills is horrible. He can't run with receivers. And, I mean, it's sad because I understand he's a rookie, right? And I understand and I understand there could be some nerves about this system and just playing in the overall NFL speed. But I think he's ready to get his doctor degree already.
His doctorate, yeah.
You know, I really think that he's ready to go for that because, I'm sorry, unless he starts to be more physical as the type corner that this system calls for, it's not going to cut it in the NFL. It's not going to cut it here in San Francisco. It's not going to cut it in the NFL in general. I mean, I was getting so aggravated with his play. You know, whether it be tackles, whether it be, you know, just keeping up with a receiver, whether it's, you know, being able to shift his hips. Everything that I saw about him was just bust. It was just complete bust. Yes, I was hard on Robinson because I'm a big believer The things that aggravate me the most, and I've said this a numerous amount of times about Robinson, is the open field tackling. If you can't open field tackle as a corner, you do not need to be a corner in the NFL, because that is one of the biggest things that you are going to be needing to do. You know, we've all talked about getting up and why isn't Robinson jamming, or why isn't Akello jamming, or why isn't, you know, everything that I'm noticing is, like Tony's saying, is everybody's playing off the ball and they're forcing the receivers inside, right? There was a couple of plays, and I can say that it's probably scheme, and I've talked to Tony about this before, was there were a couple in cover three, those passes that went to Treadwell and Stephon Diggs, where they went the 10 and came in, they got above the inside coverage, and the over-the-top coverage was behind them. So they basically just beat the coverage. Mm-hmm. But the coverage is designed that way in this defense.
Yeah, I was going to say, those were coverage beater plays, though. Like, that's
right,
what they were,
that's what I'm saying. And if we continue to see that, I mean, that's one of the things I don't like about this defense. There were a couple times where Bowman and Foster looked like they miscommunicated. But every single play that happened, if they would have caught those balls and they weren't worried about our defense hitting them, they're first downs. They are first downs because they were dimes from Sam Bradford. And their backup quarterback was eating away at that. So that's something we need to keep our eyes on as well. If you guys want to know what plays I'm talking about, just check out at @Eric_Crocker. He has those videos posted and breaks those down. He's our DB specialist, formerly played under Rex Ryan with the Jets as a DB. But check him out and his takes on it as well. But Mike, Akello Witherspoon, he's got to step it up, or I don't think he's going to make this team at all.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, I think the best thing to do is cut ties now. And I know it's really, really early to be saying this, but I mean, the kid, he's a very intelligent young man, and he's going to have a great life even away from football. He doesn't need football. He doesn't seem dependent on it. And he doesn't seem to have that fire that he wants to be great. It looks like I want to succeed in whatever I'm trying, but it seems like this one's getting the best of him, and I just don't think it's – I don't think it's going to plan out. I don't think this is in the stars for him, man. I would love to be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I hope that everything I'm saying gets heard by him. He's like, okay, Mike, I got something for you. And just come out and prove me wrong. I am okay with that. I'm just telling you guys what it feels like and what it seems like. And this isn't just from last game. This is three games of observations watching this guy. I just don't see it. I don't see the passion. I don't see the fury. I don't see the desire to be great, the willing to put it all on the line to make a play. I don't see it. He's playing as if he's afraid of something. Like, is there a fear of getting beat deep? So that's why he can't jam. He has to stay back. Like, is there a fear of, I just don't know, letting up the touchdown, giving up the big play, being caught out of position? I don't know what it is, man. I honestly don't know what it is. So I'm not feeling it, man. Tony, was there something
just
else
about
you wanted to add
the Akello? I've been noticing. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. There's been a lot of reports, like out of training camps, with the workouts with Denver and all that, how the offense is doing great. They're connecting on the deep ball, and we never saw that in the games. You didn't see it in Week 1, Week 2. We finally saw it in the first half of Week 3, and then, you know, obviously we're not going to see nothing in Week 4. My thing is, if I read a couple articles from Barrows and Mayoko saying that he's been breaking on the ball. He had a couple picks. He's progressing in practice, but it's not transitioning to the game. That makes me believe, is this scheme basic for games right now, and it's going to change Week 1? Or this guy just can't transition from practice to game?
I mean, but it's a basic scheme anyway, isn't it? Like, what's the corner's response?
No, I understand that.
When you're on the outside.
Like I told you before, this scheme, your corners are press corners. Why aren't they pressing? Why aren't they up on the line jamming?
I can't say that they're doing that to not show their cards. I mean, you have to let these guys practice doing what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't know.
God. I mean, this system isn't Seattle's system. There's differences in it, and which I'm fine with, because you build your system to your talent. I mean, I can agree with you to a point, Tony, on that is why is he not transitioning that from the practice field to the game field? Because I have not seen anything other than some highlight reels on 49ers.com of Akello Witherspoon doing anything even remotely to what he's doing in the highlight films on the field. And, you know, Mike, I think that's enough about Akello, but I got one other question for you. Was it me or was it – did you guys see also the difference in play from Lorenzo Jerome? Is this guy's feelings hurt that he's not starting now?
I was back and forth on Lorenzo Jerome during this game. There was a play or two where I was like, come on, Lorenzo, you're better than that.
Yeah, like, I mean,
but
that's what I was saying, because I did see, like, he was just, like, taking off a couple plays. And
right.
Compared to what I've seen him play so far, I'm thinking, damn, we can move, you know, we can put him back out there, move Ward back to corner. You know, that will sharpen us up a little bit. But I'm actually really excited about Dante Johnson's play right now, so I'm not even thinking about that. But
Dante Johnson's playing pretty damn good. I got to be honest.
Dante
with you.
Johnson has taken his yes, opportunity, he and he is rising. And
he's from Jersey.
Yeah.
So.
A boy.
But maybe I'm just overreacting a little bit on that. But I mean, it just seemed like he was just down, like he wasn't playing that type of.
Yeah, game. I mean, he wasn't playing inspired football.
I think they chewed into him. I think they chewed into him for that special teams error versus, I think it was Kansas City. He screwed up something with the special teams.
Yeah.
See, I didn't even catch that.
I mean, and that still brings me back to a lot of these guys playing special teams, man. I'm just surprised. It just surprises the hell out of me that Joe Williams doesn't play special teams. I'm sorry. I keep touching base on that, but surprises me.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. There's one more guy I want to ask you guys about. Then we're going to get to the trades, and then we're going to talk about if there's any. Yeah, we're gonna end it with trades. But one more guy I want to ask you guys about, and this is Aaron Lynch. I'm not going to lead you guys. I'm not going to say pros or cons, but I would love to get your guys' thoughts on Aaron Lynch. Let's start with Tony here. The man, you know, contract year for him. Just what. What are your feelings from Aaron Lynch right now? What do you think the team is thinking about him?
I honestly feel, my opinion, I think Aaron Lynch has talent, but Aaron Lynch doesn't play with that talent on every play. He takes plays off. And like you said, he's in a contract year. And are you willing to give a guy a decent contract for someone who only dominated, what, a second and third string line? I think he dominated Ja Reed from Kansas City and beat him for two sacks. But this game, I mean, PFF ranked him high. I mean, I don't see, I guess the pressures maybe, snaps to pressure ratio. I don't know. Sometimes he looks dominant and there's other times he's just there.
But that's been Aaron Lynch's whole career.
Exactly, from Notre Dame to Southern Florida, you know, to being a fifth-round pick.
It's not just because of weight issues or anything like that. I think that's just Aaron Lynch. I think he just gets – either he gets tired or he just gets –
he wants to play. He doesn't want to play. Like,
but I think the PFF ratings, like you said, were definitely his pressures. He was definitely bringing pressure off the edge.
Yes.
I can't say that he wasn't. Was he getting to the quarterback? There was a couple times he probably could have had him, but I felt like he wasn't going his full speed. But that could also be, I mean, he was supposed to be the next up-and-coming pass rusher in this defense, you know, through these last two coaches. And now all of a sudden, you know, you got Armstead playing out there. You got, you know what I mean? So other people are pushed into this position now. And, you know, is it the fact that he feels, like I said with Lorenzo Jerome, he feels like, oh. But he's got to understand, too, that it's a contract year. And he's got to be able to prove his point and be able to prove that he's on this team. I think Aaron Lynch still makes this team. But I can agree with you, Tony. I think he takes off some plays.
Yeah, he's definitely taking off plays. I mean, but he's a big guy. That's going to happen, right? I mean, Ahmad Brooks took off plays. I'm sure Von Miller takes off plays. Like, it's not unusual for that to happen.
R.I.P. Ahmad Brooks.
Yeah, right?
Finally, but no longer a 49er.
That's crazy. My thing with
after
this.
After how many years?
What was it? How many? He had what, 12 seasons? So, what was it? 10?
I think he was with the Niners for 8 years, 8 or 9 years.
Nine, maybe. Okay, but yeah, I mean, I'll miss Ahmad Brooks, but that's, you know, it is what it is. But when it comes to Aaron Lynch, the pressure was impressive. I think he put up really good numbers. I watched him, like, when he's on, right? But here's the thing. It wasn't against starters.
Yeah.
Nope.
And he's not always on, even against the lesser competition.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, that's what, like, he's got a damn motor. I know, like I said, he's a big guy, and he was playing hard and all that kind of stuff. But, man, let me tell you, this guy, like, he was out there a lot in the second half. Like, he was out there and really, really.
He should be dominating.
Yeah. Exactly.
That second and third string.
Yep.
And I mean, he is to a point, but he's not capitalizing with sacks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's my point with him. I'm a little worried about him. But all right, guys. Overall grades for the starters. Let's not talk about everybody else. Let's not talk about the depth. We know there's no game planning and all that. Give me hot, cold, hot. For the starters, cold for the starters, and some warm positions. We kind of went through that already. I'm going to throw this to Tony. Go ahead and give it to me, buddy. What do you have for hot? Give me a player, position group, or just something that was really, really good. Like, you're confident with it going into the season. Give me something cold. I'm worried about it. And give me something warm. We got to keep an eye on that.
Can we do one offense, one defense, hot, cold?
Yeah, go for it. Whatever, however you want to do it.
Offense, Nick, you're going to love this. Hoyer.
Mm-hmm.
That's hot. Defense, you got to give it to Foster.
Oh, yeah.
Cold. I guess you could go, I would do maybe Robinson as a cold.
Wow.
I don't understand. He has the talent, but when like in versus Kansas City, those two pass interference plays, turn your damn head around. He mm-hmm. should have been flagged in this game
mm-hmm.
on one of those deep passes. His head wasn't turned.
Yeah, but to his, I'm gonna stick up for him here because Salah said that he did exactly what he's supposed to do in
chest
that,
to chest, that hand to hand,
chest to chest, hand to hand, and he doesn't want him to get his head around. So he did what he's taught.
But isn't that a penalty though? If you don't turn your head to try to play for the ball,
if you're not playing the ball and you contact and like mess up the receiver, now you can be playing just defense and not be playing the ball, but you can't like prevent the guy from putting his arm up. You can't prevent the guy from running his route. So that's why when Robert Saleh was describing it, it was chest to chest, hands to hands. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, it's not hands and arm. Don't control his arm. Don't move his arm, but put your hands where his hands are because his hands are always going to be going towards the ball. It is the way, it's the only way to play defense with your back to the ball.
Yeah. And as far as the offense for the cold, I want to see the run game, man, so it falls on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything warm, anything that, you know, we got to keep our eye on. Could be good, could be bad. It depends on which way it falls.
Trying to think. I didn't see the whole game. That's the problem. I'm just going off the first quarter. The first.
All right. No, that's fine. That's fine. Well, that's all. I really just wanted the starters anyway. And it's going to be hard to come up with a warm because there was a lot more positives than there were negatives. So I get that. All right. So, Nick, what about you, man? Give me hot, cold, and warm if you got anything.
My hots definitely have to be play calling.
Mm-hmm.
My hots are definitely play calling. The ability to adapt and game plan is definitely something that's going to be a hot for this season. You know, beating the defense type, putting people into positions to beat their defenders on the offense. Warm, I'm going to say, as much as I love Brian Hoyer, I'm still warm on him. I think he's going to succeed in this scheme, but I'm warm because of injuries. And cold, Cold would have to be... I'm going to stick with the run game.
Okay. All right, I hear that. I hear that. I like that. All right, so here we go. My hots are going to be... I like what Tony did with the offense and defense. But my hot is going to be the offense in general, just the offense. I like the scheme, and we got a chance to see it. I like the players. The players seem fired up and ready to go. What I liked the most was the celebrating. That 7-yard play that we talked about with Carlos Hyde, he got up and was looking at the sideline like, what? What? Like, he, you know what I mean? Like, he's fired up. He didn't get a touchdown. That's small stuff that's going to amount to big stuff. He's fired up and hyped and ready to go. Goodwin, after his touchdown pass, what did he do? He just ran 40-plus yards. He drops the ball, gets in the sprinter stance, and runs through the tape. I absolutely loved it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, the offense. Yes. Like, we haven't seen that, guys. We haven't seen that. That's where I missed that. That's my hot. Absolutely my hot. My hot on defense is going to be the defensive line. We said that we should see the defensive line look a little bit better against a mediocre offensive line. And they did. They absolutely did, man. The defensive line came to play. I like what I saw. I like the pressures they saw. I like the mixed looks from the defensive line, the stunts that they threw in there and things like that. And by the way, he's not part of the defensive line, but Jaquaski Tartt has to be out. Yes. Also.
Yes.
Jaquaski Tartt, we haven't talked about him at all. That guy has to be a hot. I mean, I'm not even going to emphasize or say any more about it, but him and the defensive line are my hots for the defensive side of the ball. My cold on the offense for the starters is going to be the offensive line. I agree that we need to see some more running. We need to see some more consistency, although I think that they did a serviceable job still maintaining in the absence of Joe Staley. So I know I'm giving them a cold grade, but I still like it. I still like it, but I'm going to give it a cold because I would just like to see a little bit more dominance in the run game. You know, just be a little bit more aggressive.
Another thing about this offensive line is that first string offense has only allowed one sack.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's only allowed a handful of pressures. Forget sacks, just a handful of pressures. So I like it. I like it a lot. That's what I'm saying. But I'm giving it the cold, though, because of
the run game.
Yeah, the run game. I want to see some more aggressiveness. You know, I want to see these guys push someone around. And, like, where's Joshua Garnett? This is starting to piss me off, man. Joshua Garnett, Jimmy Ward, get your asses in there. I don't care if you guys are first-round draft picks. I want to see you guys in game 4 against the Chargers. I got to see it.
No, they're not playing Ward versus them. They no need way
to.
Now.
You can't miss the entire preseason and all the practices and expect to start week 1. I don't want you out there then. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
No, I agree with you, but they had practice today. He wasn't even practicing. He was in the weight room.
That's my point. And he was limited because of the same hamstring. Get out there and fucking play, man. We got to see what's going on. We can't just put you out there and the chemistry is thrown off. I like the chemistry of what this team is doing in his absence. Don't mess that up just because he's a starter on paper. Don't mess that up.
Did any of you guys notice how Tartt did at single high?
Mm-mm.
He did well.
I think he started at the single high, right? Well.
Yeah, he was taking over for Lorenzo Jerome. That's why Nick was talking about Jerome being pissed off.
Yeah,
I think they're pushing him for that.
You know, and the sad thing about this is we've heard this from the last 3 years, well, 2 years I'd say, is that these defensive coordinators say, oh, we have to do what we have to do to get Tartt on the field. You know, we heard it last year. We're going to put the best 11 guys on the field, but we have to get Jaquaski Tartt on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then we heard it from Salah today. We have to get Jaquaski Tartt on the field. You know, we have to figure out a way to get him on the field. And that's why, like I said, you know, where last game or whatever, he came in on a dime package. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it was him and Foster as linebackers. Foster
as linebackers, you know, which I like. I think that's good because it gives the offense different looks. And I think Kwaski is a hell of a football player. And I definitely think that he should be on this defense. But it's just a matter of finding space and where to put him.
Mm-hmm. Another cold for me on the defense side, it's going to be He's not a starter, but Quentin Dial. He's a guy that I want to succeed so badly. I want Quentin Dial to do good, but guys, I think his time in San Francisco is coming to an end.
I think he's going to get traded.
I hope so.
He's just a better fit for a 3-4.
He's not this tight. He doesn't fit this scheme.
Yeah, so I think he's gone. And my warm, and this is going to be something out of left field, something just to keep an eye on for good or for bad, and we're going to have to keep an eye on it throughout the season. Special teams. Mm-hmm. Punting, yeah. Kick returns, field goals. Field goals. I like Nick Rose, guys. You guys are going to think I'm freaking crazy. I know it. But
no, he's good.
I like this backup kicker we have. And there's no way he's going to beat out Robbie Gould. It's not even a real competition. It's just for camp body purposes. But let me tell you, I really like this kid, Nick Rose. And this isn't my first time seeing him either. I like this kid. I like him. So that's just my warm right there. There were a couple of trades in the NFL today. In particular, we had Vance McDonald. Stonehands, ladies and gentlemen. Wait a second. Hold on. Stonehands is finally gone, ladies and gentlemen. Vance McDonald is no longer a San Francisco 49er. Yes. Yes. That is a roaring round of applause because Vance McDonald is gone. Okay?
The thing that excites me the most about this is we are going to be able to see the Stone Cold celebration a lot more this year.
Yeah. Yep.
That pretty much cements it, right? I mean, we don't think Paulson's going to be the starter, do we?
No.
I think you'll see him out on the first play. Oh. He started with Washington with Kyle. It's weird. He rotates his tight ends, this guy.
He rotates everybody. He keeps everybody and healthy.
I remember when he was with Washington, Paulson, when they used to do the lineups, Paulson was the starting tight end. And then the next play, the next guy was in. I mean, listen, he might start him right off the bat. You don't know.
Right.
But Paulson knows this. The most important position right now for this zone game is the tight end because they read the tight end's block.
Right.
So you want your best blocker out there, and that's Paulson as of right now.
Yeah, I like it, man. I mean, Kittle's a damn good blocker as well, and that's why I think that Vance McDonald was so expendable. He's a good blocker. He's got good hands. He's got good heart and catch after the yards after the catch. He's an all-around good tight end, and he's just a rookie. We haven't even seen the potential yet. So I think that's what made Vance McDonald expendable. I would say that was the defining and only reason, but we know that's not the case because they were trying to trade him during the draft. Yeah. I think they just wanted to move on from him and get rid of that salary. Get rid of that contract. You know, let's eat a year of dead cap space, but move on. You know, so that's cool. Vance McDonald is gone. But what I wanted to ask you guys about was, one, what you guys thought about it. You guys already said that. But two, there's some other rumors. All right. One rumor was that the 49ers might still be looking to trade another tight end. So I want to ask you guys, who do you think that is? And then there was one other rumor we'll get to after that. But first, who's the other tight end, guys?
Selleck.
Yeah. It's more about the contract than it is about the players, right?
Yes.
And
I just think I think they want Hikutini on this team.
But I haven't even really seen Hikutini.
I haven't seen Hikutini. I haven't seen Bell. I haven't seen Selleck.
That's the whole thing, man. They were going to try to stash
him. So you think they're not playing him on purpose so that no other team has interest in him?
That's what I think. That's what I think. They paid him a lot of money to come to San Francisco. A lot of guaranteed money.
For an undrafted guy, yeah. I mean, he's not getting Selleck money. He's not.
I think they paid him one. Well, I'm not talking like if they had to get rid of him, they'd be strapped to eat that money. But when was the last time you heard a undrafted free agent getting $150,000 guaranteed? Right. So there's something there. And actually, I was listening to Matt Maiocco's podcast today, and they interviewed him saying, like, you know, there was multiple teams that were after him, and San Francisco called him like 10 times. Yeah. They started calling him in the sixth round, the seventh round. And then once the draft was complete, they said Peters called him twice, Shanahan called him twice,
Embry, the tight ends, called him like five times, and Lynch called him the final time to get him to agree to terms. Yep. They paid big money for three players. Gilbert, Hikatini, and Breida.
Well, Breida's going to be making this team. Everyone knows that. Breida looks, he looks way more physical than I expected for someone his size. Way more physical. I love it. Breida's making this team.
He runs hard.
Hikatini, I can't say he's going to make the team because I haven't seen enough, but based off of what you're saying, that's by design. And who was the other? Gilbert?
Yeah, the guy who tore his ACL, the outside linebacker, defensive end. They paid a decent amount of money to get him in.
You know who else they paid money to that I'm mad that they went out and got? It's on this team. The offensive lineman from Seattle, Gary Gilliam. I can't believe he's on this team. I don't even want to get into that, but that kind of thing makes me so annoyed. But so I think we all agree that Celek is the other guy that's going to be on the trade block, right? So last but not least, there are a ton of other trade rumors right now, and teams are trying to move guys to make cap space. There are teams that are trying to move guys just because they don't want to flat-out cut them. They want to see if they can get something for them, okay? One, question number one, if there is someone else on the 49ers that you think is on the trade block, who do you think it is? And question number two, look around the NFL. Tell me someone that you think the Niners should be making a move for that you've heard mentioned in a trade rumor, all right? So I'm going to kick this off while you guys think, and then I'm going to go to Nick first, all right? But my question is, the first part, who on the 49ers do you think should be traded? I'm going to go ahead and just say right now, Quentin Dial. Quentin Dial is someone who has a lot of starting experience, and not for nothing, I saw Quentin Dial on the ground a whole lot this last game. I'm over it. I would love to see him be traded somewhere instead of just cut. I think it's better for a guy's mentality, and it just says more about the player if you can go ahead and actually trade him instead of cut him. So that's going to be my trade guy, and I'll get to who I want the Niners to acquire after Nick gives us his trade from the 49ers.
All righty, let's see. My trade, I would say Quentin Dial, but I'm not going to stick with what you say. This is probably a long shot.
I would say I have another one if you don't want to.
I'm going
to
go with Aaron Lynch.
Ooh, that's actually a really good one. They're putting a lot of film out on him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm going to go with Aaron Lynch. I know we all talk about him and we all like him, but I think he's actually a good trade bait type scenario person. He's been playing with the second, third, fourth stringers. And Vance McDonald was doing the same. He was playing on second and thirds, as well as the first. So I think Aaron Lynch is somebody to look out for that could be traded.
All right, Tony, give us somebody.
There's a couple guys. I think possibly maybe like a Ronald Blair could be traded.
Oh, my God, not Ronald.
I don't want him traded, but I could see a possible scenario where he could get traded. As you know, someone tore their ACL in New England. You never know.
Yeah. I mean,
you never know.
There's a lot of possibilities. One guy I would love to see traded, one, because I don't want him on the team. Two, because I think where he came from has a need for him now. It's Gary Gilliam. Yep,
yeah,
it's Gary Gilliam. I would love to trade him back to Seattle. I would absolutely love to do that. Has that ever been done in the NFL before?
I wonder if they would take him, though.
They need him. They need him. He knows the system. They need him. Bro, he started for them last year. He was in their lineup as a starter going down the stretch of the season, the final stretch of the season. They need him.
Yeah.
Has a player ever been traded from a team and back to that team in the same offseason, in the same season before?
No.
We can make history. We can make history. I would love to trade Gary Gilliam. All right, so the second part of the question is, look around the NFL, think about some of the trade rumors that you guys have heard. Who is your number one person for the Niners to pursue? Tony or Nick, either one of you guys, if you got someone, go ahead and throw it out there. I only got one.
I got a perfect trade scenario for you right now.
I only got one, so this might be it.
Let's trade Gilliam to Seattle for Pierre Desir.
The corner?
Yeah.
I haven't watched him enough to know if he's any good.
He's playing good in that system in Seattle.
Really?
Yep. I was big on him when he came out and Cleveland took him. I think they took him in the fourth round.
That's interesting.
That's one trade I would do.
Wow. I wouldn't be mad at that. It's a position of need, and it's someone that we're not going to use. He's probably going to get cut. I'm not mad at that at all. Nick, you got one for us, buddy?
I'm going to let you go first because I'm still thinking.
All right. I saw his name in headlines today. Cleveland is trying to trade him. I don't know why. They got plenty of cap space. Yep. It's Joe Haden. That is my number one move. I think the Niners should go after him hard.
You think
so? I'd be willing. Oh, yeah. I'd be willing to give up as high as a second for him.
Mike, I'm going to be honest with you. Being that Halfley is our DB coach, I honestly felt that if Halfley wanted him that bad, I think they would have had him already.
I don't think they would have had him already.
Like, I mean,
I don't think that.
Not like
I don't think
last that, year. I'm saying like within a week's time, they'll have him.
That's no, but what I'm saying is we just heard that he's on the block today. I'm saying if it wasn't public knowledge before that, you know what I mean? It's one thing. But that's why I think he's a perfect fit. If we end up if the rumors came out today and then we hear tomorrow that the Niners traded a second round for this guy, I think we should all be excited because, like you said, Halfley.
Who do you replace him with, though? Who are you taking off?
What do you mean, who am I taking off? That's added depth. Robinson, get your shit together, bro. Who's playing corner the best for the 49ers right now? It's Dante Johnson.
Yeah.
It's Dante Johnson. Anyone who says otherwise, I mean, you want Robinson to be good. All of us want Robinson to be good, but Dante Johnson's been playing extremely well for the 49ers right now.
Why do they want to get rid of him?
So I kept trying to think that it was salary. Right?
He just came off an injury, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think he came off an injury, not last year, the year before.
So, right. I was going to say, I thought he was healthy last year, but I don't know. I'll look it up, but I'm just saying that I don't know why they would be trying to get rid of him. They have plenty of money. They have as much money as we do.
We have a lot more, though.
Yeah,
I don't know.
What do we got? Maybe we got 73.
Yeah, we got more now with Brooks gone.
With Brooks gone and the trade of Vance McDonald.
Yes. I'll tell you another. I heard another
that's
guy.
That's what I'm saying. We got rid of Brooks. And so here's the thing about Joe Haden really quick. He's got two more years under his contract after this season. Mm-hmm. So look at the money we freed up with Brooks and the money we freed up with Vance McDonald. Those two guys will pay for his salary. I mean, Brooks was in his last year. Okay, fine. But McDonald, we're getting him for next to nothing if you look at it that way.
Yeah, because we only ate $5 million of that. Well, $5.6 million of the Vance McDonald trade.
Man, I'm just saying.
And we got a fourth round back.
He's the one guy I would be going after. The attitude, the style. I mean, the familiar. If we traded it, listen to this, right? If we ended up trading a second round pick for him, would you not be like, oh, Halfley knows him. He's got to be a fit for the system. Like, it's a really good trade. If that happened with another team, I would be like, yo, I can't believe you guys gave up a second-round pick for him. But if we did it, I would be like, yo, this coach knows him. There's a reason they gave up that much for him. That's all I'm saying.
That's the only guy I want. We have two firsts, two seconds, two thirds, one fourth, no fifth, one sixth, two sevenths.
I would say we got two somewhere else also. Yeah, maybe it's a seventh. But yeah, man, like, I say go get him, man. I say get him. Give him a player. It doesn't even have to be for another pick. Find a player to give him. You know what I mean? Give him Aaron Lynch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could.
Oh my God, man.
The only thing is, where Aaron Lynch gonna fit into that defensive scheme? Where they,
not our problem.
Yeah.
Not our problem.
No, I mean, I would definitely do it. I mean, the only thing I mean, like I said, is getting – you definitely have to get somebody if they're going to step in right now and take the likes of, like, Robinson or, you know, somebody like that, because you're not going to put Joe Haden on the bench.
Absolutely like, not.
You're just not going to do it. So,
Rob, we start a rotation.
You would start a rotation with Robinson.
Another thing is – we're not going to be in this whole base defense with just two corners on the field a lot. With the way the defensive line looks, it's going to be passing downs a lot. And so when we go to dime or even nickel, like, get them out there. Right?
Yeah, no, I can agree. I can agree. I mean, I if anything, with trade-wise, that would probably be my number one to go to.
Yep. I love it, man. I love it. But listen, guys, what are we watching for? All right. We talked about the positions that we think are still up for battle. Mine was quarterback, the backup quarterback position. Are we going to go with three quarterbacks? Even if Kyle Shanahan has his mind made up that he's only going to keep that he's going to keep Beathard as the backup on the depth chart for right now, I still think Barkley can play his way onto this roster. I still think that a fourth running back can play his way onto the roster. I think we all agree with that. I think cornerback, because of depth, I think the cornerback position is going to be one to watch. I have to pay a lot of attention to that cornerback position this game coming up against the LA Chargers. So I don't have much else to say. Nick, you got anything you want to drop in? Tony, either one of you guys want to say something before we end this up?
Yeah, I mean, I'll end it. So, Tony, go ahead if you have anything.
I just want to, this game coming up, I want to keep my eye on the depth at middle linebacker. We spoke about this previously, Mike, with the injury to Smith.
Yeah.
You know, Coyle's been banged up. You know, I don't know if I feel confident. I know we still have Ray-Ray, but Ray-Ray's a will.
Hey, man, don't count Austin Calitro out, man. He actually had a hell of a game.
He did.
I remember him having a big hit. I don't know if he had a big game.
Statistic-wise.
Statistic-wise, he actually had a decent game. I mean, his coverage skills was good. He was all sideline to sideline.
I'm gonna try to watch it now.
I mean,
now.
Just somebody to watch as well for the fans, you know?
Yeah. But honestly, I'm gonna ask you guys a question. I'm gonna do like a little over-under. How many new faces you think will be on this roster that the team will put claims in for? I say three.
Ooh.
Over-under three.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, I'll take the under.
I'll take the under. Only reason I'm going to take the under is Ali and I put together the 53-man roster, and that means that you're going to have to get rid of some of those guys. Like, so for example, Vance McDonald made our 53-man roster. That gives you space for one new face. Okay. Ahmad Brooks made the 53-man roster. That's two. We scraped and tried to come up with that 53-man roster, and we let go of people that we didn't want to let go of.
Now, what happens if you take Robinson, Dante Johnson, Kawan Williams, and you get rid of every other corner on that team, and you go from the outside? Because to be honest with you, none of them deserve to be on the team.
I see what you're saying. I mean, I see how you could do it. I absolutely see how you could do it. But, I mean, I'm just saying that that's a bold move, because you got to remember, after these cutdowns, these guys aren't going to practice squad. You're picking these guys up, and they're going to your 53.
They go to the active, correct.
That these aren't just players that, oh, I think there's some potential there. You have to know. You have to know that they're going to be better than the guys you have in-house right now.
Yeah.
It's tough. I would take the under. I think it's at two. I think it's at two. But
that's what I meant to say. I have three in my head. Like I say, I was going to do the over two for three.
Oh, okay.
That was my fault. I should have said two. But yeah, I think it's going to be over two.
If you had said two, I'd have been screwed. I wouldn't bet on it. I would call it a push, because I think two is about where it's gonna fall.
Yeah, I could agree.
I think he's picking up two new guys.
I think you might see a new lineman, offensive lineman. I think you might see a corner, and I think you might see a middle linebacker.
I think we're done with linebacker. I think we're done with defensive lineman.
Defensive lineman set, I think.
Yeah. I think defensive line is good. I think offensive line could use some help. I think running back is good. Wide receiver is good. unless there's a wide receiver that really, really looks good out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I think wide receiver is good. Offensive line, yeah. Quarterback, I think we're good. Safety, I think we're good. Linebacker, I think we're good. Outside linebacker, I think we're good.
Even in the middle? You good in the middle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to remember how high I am on Ray Armstrong. I think Bowman and Foster and Armstrong should be the starting three.
So you think, like, God forbid something happened to either Bo or Foster, one would slide over and then Armstrong would take the will.
I'm plugging Armstrong in without hesitation.
Okay. All right.
I'm plugging him in without hesitation. Yep.
Okay.
But yeah, man. So like, I think we're good there. It's corner and offensive lineman. Those are the only two that I could see someone saying, yeah, let's just take him instead of this guy. Okay. Whoever our last corner is to make the team, whoever they have ranked number six, that guy is on watch. There's no way he's safe. I don't care who it is. Redmond, Reaser, whoever they decide it is.
Did Redmond play at all this preseason? I don't recall seeing him. I saw my special teams.
He's played a couple games.
He played defense?
Yeah, he's played defense. He played the slot position.
Has Ward played at all?
No.
Like, that's something that's not fair, man. Like, this, like, we're sitting here, we're talking all this stuff, but what has Ward done? Jimmy Ward hasn't done a single thing, man. A single thing. And we're just going to pencil him in as a starter in a new system where he has to be more physical and be willing to make big hits. Come on, man. This is going to be a problem.
The thing that gets me with that whole thing is when he was asked, when Shanahan was asked in his presser about, would you be willing to move Ward back to corner? He said, I'm just trying to get Ward healthy and get him out here and see what he has.
To see what he has. They don't even know.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think that's why Tart was put in at free safety. They need depth over there. Tony alluded to that earlier. That's why they put in Tart.
Yeah, I could agree.
Yep. So all right, fellas, let's go ahead and wrap this up, man. Nick, take us home. I'm going to put on a nice long outro.
Yeah, I just want to.
So you go ahead and take us home.
I just want to mention one more time, guys, if you haven't donated for Texas yet, like Mike said earlier, you can do it through the text feature of text 90999. Just text Harvey
text the
to
word
that.
Harvey.
And that'll be $10 that comes right off your cell phone bill. But you can also do the one that JJ Watt has at youcaring.com/JJ Watt. They've raised over $2.5 million already.
Wait. 3.5 because another team donated another $1 million tonight.
And I was just going to say, they're trying to get the $3 million. So now I'm sure they're trying to get the $4 million. Faithfuls, this is a time to unite, man. You know, this is bigger than just our NFL team, you know, friends and stuff like that, man. There's a lot of people out there that are in need. You know, rescues are happening every day. I have a friend who lives in Texas, and
as do I.
Yeah,
her and her daughter are already displaced. They're not even at home anymore.
Yeah, so my one friend is utilizing and setting up jet skis and boats to remove people from their neighborhood. A lot of helicopter rescues off of roofs. Had a police officer drown in his patrol car. Mm-hmm. You know, our condolences to his family and all those that have perished and been lost in this tragedy of a storm. So guys, it's $10, like Mike said, you're not even going to notice the difference. Make sure you go there, text Harvey to 90999, or you can visit JJ Watt's youcaring, that's youcaring.com/JJ Watt. Faithful unite. And yeah, Mike, that's all I got pretty much. But guys, let's the season's getting closer, man, so you know, stay faithful out there, and above all else, stay faithful. We out.
Back in July, when we traveled to Tokyo, we had a mission, we had a quest, and we have one hell of a football team, and I love you, God bless you, and thank you for being world champions.
Talk about being champions from July 7th. We're champions right now. We got one more to go. Congratulations for a tremendous effort. Tremendous.
I understood the 49ers from the standpoint of growing up as a kid, and so I understood kind of the emotion of the community, but at the same time, the inner workings of the 49ers' way of doing things, and that I had grown up in it myself. I didn't really go into it with the idea I wanted to dramatically change anything. As my wife told me, you know, when I got the job, she said, George, don't screw it up.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot hold with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
The San Francisco 49ers, we can do whatever we want.
Don Landry, just 6 yards away from his sixth Super Bowl. And of course, for the upstart 49ers, they're 6 yards away from Pontiac. Third and three. Montana looking, throwing in the end zone. It's a
So now they've got to start from deep in their end of the field, and Garrison Hurst takes advantage of it. He takes the handoff, sweeps to his right, gets to the 20, into the 30, needs to cut in. He comes back up the right sideline, breaks the third tackle, comes down to the 30, he's down to the 20, he's down to the 10, he's down to the 5, he's into the end zone. Touchdown, touchdown, 49ers! 96-yard run from scrimmage. Garrison Hurst breaking tackle after tackle, swings down the sideline, throws off bodies like clothes after a marathon.
Young, back to throw. In trouble, he's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs, gets away again, goes to the 40, gets away again, to the 35, cuts back at the 30, to the 20, the 15, the 10. He dies, touchdown 49ers.
They get another play. Three-man rush, and Young stumbles on the way back and fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch. Oh, my
God. 7. From the New Orleans 27-yard line. 49ers enter the backfield. Smith on third down. He'll take it himself.
Left hip. Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking, got it, post, and it's good! Touchdown! Touchdown, 40!
It is second down, Ryan takes the snap, goes to slant to the left side. It's Russell, he intercepted! The 49ers pick it, and Navarro Bowman is redemption! Navarro Bowman running it all the way for the touchdown!
Second down and 4. Kaepernick keeps it. Fooled everybody. Colin Kaepernick. What a game. Touchdown.
San Francisco 49ers. We can do whatever we want.